Revelation chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver, and precious stones and pearls, and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense, and wine and oil and fine flour, and wheat and beast and sheep and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the city, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. and no craftsman, or of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this revelation of the things to come, that we see that all the wickedness of this earth is going to be judged and judged severely. And Father, may we remember that when we're tempted to participate, but that you call us to come out so that we do not participate in her evils nor in her judgments. Father, please give us the strength to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Revelation chapter 18. We've been seeing the events of the tribulation, all the wrath that God has been pouring out upon the wicked upon the earth. Now we see in particular the fall of Babylon. Okay, so we'll see exactly what Babylon is. And it starts off, after these things, so John has seen so many visions, now there's a new vision. After these things, I saw another angel. So he's been seeing mighty angels that have been appearing to do God's will. Come down from heaven, having great power. That's something, because all the angels we see in Scripture have great power. They're awesome, but these are apparently particularly mighty angels that God is sending to send the judgment on the earth. And the earth was lightened with his glory. Well, you know how it is on a dark night when, like, we had a pretty good lightning storm the other night, you know, just when the lightning flashes and it just lights up the whole thing. Well, I see this angel coming, and he's so, he's been in the presence of God so much. You remember how Moses' face shone after he'd been with God in the mountain, just God's reflection from that he had to cover his face. Well, these angels dwell in the presence of God. And so when he appears, he brings light to the earth. Okay, it's a very dark time, so his light really stands out. But I think that light comes because he's been in the presence of God. He's bringing some of God's glory with him. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. So, what is Babylon? Okay, well, Babylon's a real city. We know about it from way back, right? It goes back to the Tower of Babel. When after the flood, remember, the earth had gotten so corrupt that God had to send a flood and to destroy all mankind except for Noah and his three sons and his wife and their son, their wives. Okay, so eight people, and all the rest of the earth he destroyed. But sin came right back in quickly, and God had said to spread out and fill the earth, but they decided they would rather stay together and create their own mighty kingdom. Okay, so they said, let's stay together, and we will make brick, and we will burn it thoroughly. We use our best technology to make this, and we're going to build a tower unto heaven. Well, what have we been doing ever since? Men have been getting together, trying to create the perfect world, a world according to our own desires, okay? It still goes on, all right? We have the United Nations, which claims that they're going to do all this. We have the European Union that claims what they're going to do. We have the World Economic Forum, where they all get together and decide what the population of the world should be and how it should be run and what we should do. All the powerful and the rich get together, this and that. We're continuing on. It's a political philosophy that they like to call themselves progressives. Okay, we usually call them liberals. But words change meaning over time. Liberal used to be a good thing. To be liberal means you believed in freedom and democracy, and that people could have their own property and make their own decisions and this and that. Now they're referred to as progressives because we have to be on this trajectory where we're taking this world toward a utopia. Okay, we've been warned. There were books like 1984, and Animal Farm, and things like that. I saw a T-shirt one time that said 1984 was not meant to be a recipe. Okay, it was meant to be a warning. Okay, of what happens. But isn't that how our political leaders talk? We have to create this perfect world. We have to control everything. We have to this. China is the model that they admire, where China has all this social engineering where you get points for doing the right things and you lose points for not. And so they try to engineer. They're doing the same thing in this country. We're following the exact same examples. It's going on in many, many ways. So Babylon is a real city. It was there in the Middle East. Saddam Hussein was trying to rebuild it, you know, the Hanging Gardens and all the magnificence of Babylon. He wanted to create a great empire there. And then the Muslim caliphate took over in that area, and they were going to build a great power there, on and on and on. Okay, China is busy trying to spread their world control, and they're doing it by investing money in South America and all different places, by different ways here in the United States, and trying to spread their influence and control around the world. Okay, Iran is trying very hard to control. They're the ones funding and behind the Houthi rebels and the Hamas and many things, and they even launched their own attacks into Israel directly from Iran, and then the European Union, the United Nations, and the United States all run around. No, no, Israel, don't react. Nobody went to Iran before they did it. They said they were going to do it. Went to them and said, no, no, don't take this action. Don't do it. But then after they launch hundreds of missiles directly against Israel, then it's all of a sudden, Israel, don't retaliate. Stop. Got to quit. Israel, you've got to quit attacking Hamas. But there's no call for the release of the hostages that Hamas has taken. There's no call for justice coming because of all the murders of the innocent that Hamas did when they attacked Israel. No, it's the same. We have the same Babylonian spirit in this world. We want to establish our own religions. Okay, we want to say this is the way it should be, not the way God has first created it. So Babylon, I believe, is going to appear again as a mighty city that's going to be the headquarters of the Antichrist. Okay, the Antichrist is going to have influence all over the world and all the nations, but there's going to be a center of that. And that's going to be Babylon, the physical city. And I think it's going to exist. And I think it's going to be somewhere that is a great seaport, because it's going to talk about all the merchants who bring their money and their merchandise to sell there by ship and this and that. So it's going to be somewhere. Could be a lot of places. You know, I think about great seaports. I think about Singapore. That's one of the places I've been. When you go to Singapore, it's pretty much nothing but a seaport. I mean, it's a huge city. But when you can look out, they have the, I stayed on like the 63rd floor of this hotel looking out over the bay. And as far as I could see, there was nothing but a line of those huge cargo ships stretching out across out in the ocean. They were just all lined up waiting one at a time to come in. And when you come down to the docks, okay, it's like the, if you've ever been to the docks in California or this and that, there's all the huge cranes and this and that, and there's just cargo boxes everywhere, and they're always unloading those ships and this and that. It's a huge port. You know, a place like Singapore could be a huge world center. There's places along the coast of China. There's a lot of merchandise and things. Usually it's coming out of China selling to the rest of the world, but you know, New York is a port, and London you can get to by sea. And I think probably from the perspective of the Bible is usually centered around the Middle East. In the Middle East, the sea is the Mediterranean. And the Mediterranean is open on the ocean. It was open at Spain there. That's where you always came in, to the mouth of the Mediterranean. Now we've dug the Suez Canal so they can come in up that way as well. It's a huge shipping port through there. So they come in that area. So you think in Spain, you think of places like, you know, Italy and Rome and Greece and different ports there. It could be anywhere in there. There's many places. So the actual city, I don't know where it will be, but it will be the headquarters of the Antichrist. But when God is talking about Babylon, he's talking about this physical city, but he's also talking about the entire Babylonian empire, the world conquering empire, because when the Antichrist comes to power, they finally accomplish in making the one world government. We've heard about it for a long time. I always remember the first President Bush, used to be a foreign ambassador. He's been in all these things. He was always talking about the one world government. That's what they're seeking. When President Trump got elected, the world went crazy because he was a populist. He was not for the one world government. He said, make America great again. That's sacrilege because we're supposed to be making America less and the world more powerful. Well, our current leadership is very good at making America less. So they've succeeded in that. That was so against it. I was reading The Economist at the time, the British newspaper, and they were just, all they did was rail against Trump, how terrible this was. And this was at the same time that England had voted to withdraw from the European Union. And so those were the two things they were always on about, how horrible this was. You know, how it's got, you know, they're destroying, I know the liberals now like to talk about how we're destroying democracy. You know, they've got to stop. If Trump is elected, that will destroy democracy. So what are they doing? They're taking him off the ballots so people can't vote for him. I thought democracy was when people voted for the leader they chose in a fair manner. But no, it will destroy democracy if we allow the people to vote for him. So we got to get him off the ballot or get him in jail or keep him so tied up in court or take all of his assets or this and that. It's attack against democracy, against what the people want. It's the elite, the 1%, whatever it is, I think it's 10th of 1% or something like that, they want to control the world. It's the same ones that go to Davos, Switzerland every year and tell us what to do. And they say, there are the elites who are in power and they want to find more ways to get in power. Climate change, global warming. The controversy this week has been over National Public Radio. Because one of their reporters, who's been there for, he's a senior reporter, been there 30 years or so, and he's like, I'm a liberal, this and that, but NPR has crossed the line. And so you've heard from the new CEO of NPR. This woman is, I mean, about as radical leftist as you can get. Okay, she said that she did not want to have children because she wouldn't bring them into a world that is literally burning. Really? Has anybody noticed that lately? Maybe she's been to the grass fires in West Texas, or I don't know. But she did. She thinks that our world is literally burning up, and so it'd be wrong to bring in children into this world. Isn't that? I mean, she's got the whole, she's bought it hook, line, and sinker. Okay, the whole thing. And that's how that whole network has gone. And that is not, you know, we got freedom of speech, right? Radio stations can say whatever they want, right? You're paying for that radio station. That network of hundreds of radio stations, taxpayer funded, that makes it different. Our government is paying to put that propaganda out before the people. Okay, that is the spirit of Babylon. It's the elite that want to control the whole world. It appears in different ways. It appears in one way in China, in Xi Jinping, in his radical control of all the people there. It appears in Russia, with Putin and his conquest, and he's taken over. Remember, Russia had a constitution. After the Soviet Union fell apart, they had a constitution. Constitution said the president was limited to 2 terms. Putin served 2 terms. Then the third, he had a puppet in place for the 3rd term, and then he came back in again and changed the constitution. He's there for life until he's overthrown. Okay? Xi Jinping is there for life. He's there for life. And that's the way these elite want to make sure, putting themselves in for life, to take control and run this world. That is the spirit of Babylon. It's the spirit of the one world government that wants to control everything and turn everything against God. But guess what's going to happen to that? To the literal city where the Antichrist reigns and to the spirit behind it, the one world government. Everybody that's fallen for that? Babylon the Great is fallen. Babylon has been going on ever since Satan rebelled. Was cast out of heaven, came to the Garden of Eden, and got Adam and Eve to fall and be gods themselves. And there's been the spirit of Babylon to control this world the whole time. But it's going to come to an end. It's not going to last. We look at it now and you think, how in the world can we ever take things back to a godly basis? And it's going to happen. It's going to happen with finality. God is going to do it in the end. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Okay, well, that's really what it's always been. It's just going to be visible. Okay, once it's finally fallen, there's going to be demonic influence. It's kind of like when you look at the Middle East. Okay? When you look at Israel, you have this garden spot. It's the economic thing that they have. It's the diamond cutting capital of the world. They've invented so much irrigation and desalinization plants and agriculture, and there's so much technology and everything coming out of Israel since the Jews took over. What was it like before the Jews took over in 1948? Desert. Destroyed desert. What's it like all around them? For the most part, desert. Destroyed. What? Look at the Palestinians and Hamas. You look at Gaza. It's pretty obvious different, isn't it? When Israel left, it had been part of Israel. There were greenhouses everywhere, okay, to produce all the food, because it's pretty dry there, but they had desalinization plants, they had all this, the greenhouses, and Israel moved out and left it all there for the people to benefit from. What'd they do? It's kind of like the riots in Los Angeles and whatever. They came and broke it all down and stole it to get a piece of piping or a little piece of metal or whatever they could hawk or sell or this or that. Totally destroyed it. Wiped it out. So that's what it becomes. And so Babylon, the city and the government, is going to be destroyed. A habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Not a place you're going to want to be. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. But that's not the way it looked like before the destruction. It looked pretty good, right? It looked rich. It's kind of like Las Vegas, okay? Las Vegas, you don't want to look too close. Now, I've never been to Las Vegas, but you see pictures, you know, and it's all the fancy lights. They've got all these fancy, fancy hotels and all this money and lights and fountains and pools and glitter and gloss and this and that. But you get too close, you see these fancy showgirls, but you don't want to look at them too close. They're really old and hard. It's just all glitter and this and that. It's all this gambling and this and that, but it's just a den of thieves. It's this and that when you look closer. And that's what it's going to be. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Okay? What's the way to take over the world right now? It's money. How is China, I forget what they call it, the three ways or something like that, but they're getting more and more influence around the world. They're doing it economically. China is pouring money into South America. Okay? They're giving them loans to, you know, build up their infrastructure and do this and do that. But guess what? The borrower is servant to the lender. They're getting control through that. They're getting control of the country through those loans, because now they have influence. They can control what they do. And so they're offering all kinds of things. They've had a big influence here in the United States. They have organizations on most campuses that have a lot of influence, and they fund all these different things. So it continues on. The merchants have waxed rich because they said there's so much money to be made. Everybody wants in on it, right? There are a lot of transactions. And the abundance of her delicacies. So buy, sell, trade, make a lot of money. How has it been, until just recently, the United States has been scrambling to get businesses into China, okay? opening businesses there because they think, oh, there's this huge market in China. Let's get in there. And it hasn't worked out as well as we thought it would. What have we found out? Computers that we've been buying from the Chinese have spy chips in them. Okay? They come already pre-equipped with spying chips in them and so forth. All these drones and all these various things, they phone home. They report back many, many things. They've been used for spying and so forth. There's a price to be paid, but it looks so good. They look like there's so much money to be made. People are eager to dive in. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Okay, so there is this world system. Babylon is this world system, this false worship, this secular humanism is a name we have for it. Okay, it's taken over all our institutions, hasn't it? What about our universities? There's barely a professor at our major universities that's a believer in God. They've been drummed out. They criticize, say, well, these creation scientists, you guys never publish in our elite journals, so you must not be real scientists. You ever tried to get a creation-based article into one of these elite journals? The head of the Smithsonian Journal, very prestigious scientific journal, got fired because he allowed a single article about intelligent design. Not about God, not about Jesus, just that there may be intelligent design behind creation. They fired him in a hurry. And he was a very powerful, prominent. He just allowed one article in. Out he goes. That's not allowed. Forget fair and balanced. Okay. Secular humanism has taken over our institutions. It's taken over our universities. It's taken over our entertainment. What's Disney trying to do? Disney, the family channel, right? This is Disney, right? Mickey Mouse and Winnie the Pooh. And what are they doing? They're pushing the leftist LGBTQ agenda as hard as they can. They're committed to it. They're open about it. And they're doing it even if it costs them billions of dollars. They're still doing it. They're committed to it. What about our government? Has anybody seen any signs of secular humanism invading our government? Oh, my goodness. Okay. I was having to read through basically a grant proposal. It was a federal government grant that they're trying to fund. And it was funding for, like, technology education. Okay. Guess what's in that grant? DEI. You have to prove that you are supporting diversity, equity, and inclusion. And you know what that means. Okay? That's coming with everything that comes down from funding. Okay? Texas tried to fight it in the last legislature, but the universities protested so much because all their grants are tied to DEI. Texas tried to get rid of any DEI offices at our universities. And so mostly what they've done is they've just renamed DEI to something else. Still does the same things. But that's secular humanism. It comes in there. But try to get a little religion in there. That's not allowed. It's been canceled. It's been not approved. Secular humanism has taken over our world. Okay? It's just true. And what does God say to us? Come out of her, my people. We've got to stand apart. We can't go along, even if it looks profitable. Because at first it does. It looks really profitable to just go along with the world's way and this and that. That's how I'm going to succeed in my career. I have to do it this. That's how I'm going to get published. That's how I'm going to have a successful company. That's how I'm going to get the grant, the investors, the whatever I need. He said, come ye out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. If you don't want the punishments, don't partake in the sins. That you receive not of her plagues. We're going to be glad we're out of it when the judgment comes. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. It seems like God's going to let this go on forever. He's not. He's going to put a stop to it. God is going to conquer Babylon. Just like he let the world get to a pretty bad point before the flood, then God took action. He flooded the entire world. That's pretty drastic. Then he let them get to Babylon to start building this and that. And then God came down and saw their wicked intent. And what did he do? He confused the languages. Okay? And that's been a major deal. I was watching a technical video from Sermon Audio, where we put all the sermons up on Sermon Audio. They have translation facilities. They're working on AI facilities to translate the recorded sermons into several other languages so they can be broadcast to different places. But they also have the website can be configured to, read in different languages, like Khmer and French and Spanish and all kinds of things. And when God confused the languages, he confused them pretty well. Little things like, have you ever known, in computer forms or something, and you're filling, fill in the blank, you have blank items in your cart, but if you say zero, it should be items, plural. If you say one, it should be items, singular. And if you say two or more, it should be items, plural, right? Well, that's English. What about, I forget which language, forgive me, I don't remember which language was which, but in is it French, Spanish? I forget. One of them, zero is singular, just like one. And then two and more is plural. Well, that's not too bad. But there was some language, it was like Eastern languages, Korean or something like that, where anything that ends in a two or a three is singular and everything else is plural. So 22 would be singular, 23 would be singular, but 24 would be plural. That's when God messed up the languages, he messed them up good. Okay, he did. And missionaries have struggled with it ever since. But it took that to slow us down. Because when men are left to do what men want to do unrestrained, we get in big trouble, don't we? And so God knew it was best to confuse the languages to keep us from having a united rebellion against him. We still are in rebellion against him, right? Can you name any country in this world that is truly Christian? I don't hear anything. No, not that I know of. The United States is one of the rare countries. It's very dear because we were established on Christian principles. Okay? England was too. But we were never completely Christian. This and that, but we had Christian principles, although we seem to be fleeing them quite quickly. Israel. Well, Israel struggles too. They weren't based on Christian principles, but they were supposed to be based on Old Testament Jewish law principles, but they struggle with that too. There's all kinds of factions in Israel. That's one reason they're struggling so much now, because the Orthodox Jews are getting to have more and more influence. You know why? They have more kids. They're becoming a large percentage of the population of Israel because they have more kids. The more secular Jews aren't having kids. It's the same way in New York. There's a large population of Jews in New York, and you're seeing more and more Orthodox Jews in New York purely because there are more Orthodox, they're having more and more Orthodox kids. Okay? And it's spreading. And it's changing. But there's not a Christian country on the face of this earth. This earth is all under the control of Babylon. This earth is all going to fall for Satan's deceit, except for who he calls my people. Who are his people? Well, he's always called the Jews his people, hasn't he? But also, Jesus is called his disciples his people. So the Jews and the Christians are the ones who be called his people. And ultimately, it's only going to be the followers of Jesus that are his people. Most of the Jews today are secular. Okay, so he's saying we need to come out of the sins of this world. No matter what the world's ways are, we need to set our standards. Our standards are not based on the world standards. Just because divorce is legal now doesn't mean it's right to do it. Even just because abortion is legal doesn't mean it's right to do it. Just because artificial and some in vitro fertilization and all that is legal doesn't mean Christians need to be involved in it. Okay? There was one guy called into a talk show and he heard about, it all came up because Alabama had the court decision that babies frozen in the freezer are still babies. They're still people. And so that opens up a lot of issues. And so he and his wife had gone through infertility treatment, had two children, but they had several babies still frozen. And he's like, what do I do now? He said, I've got a problem because, one, his wife does not want to have any more children. She's not willing to be pregnant again. But she's also not willing to adopt them out. So what do you do? He pays a fee every month to maintain them frozen in the freezer. And I hate to tell him, every month he waits, the less likely they are to live, the longer they're there. And so now, because of past sin, I mean, he did the first thing. He recognized that what he did was wrong. That's good. It's a good start. But you're in a bind. Now what do? Okay. His wife won't have them. She won't let them be adopted out. And so they're just going to keep paying the fee and wait. Doesn't solve the problem. I guess it's better than the only third choice was just go ahead and destroy them. Okay. That's what happens. We need to face the truth about what we're really doing. It sounds so good to go for this infertility treatments because, oh, we want to have a baby and babies are so sweet. We need to be aware of the full consequences of our actions. What about all the babies that get destroyed because of it? Okay, we got to think about that too, not just the one baby that we wanted. What about the other babies we create? We got to think of that. And it's not fun. It's not pleasant. We like to keep it out of sight and hidden. But that's this world. But when the world approves, it's just all fine. But and now, I hate to tell people, but the liberal worldview is not going to be satisfied if we just give in and accommodate them. Okay, let's think about the same-sex marriage thing. Okay, that was a big deal in the 90s until the Supreme Court came out and legalized it. And one swell swoop, they legalized it, just like they did abortion back in the 70s. Now, we worked for 50 years and finally got a foot in the door, got that overturned to the Supreme Court level, but there's still a big fight left. It's going to be tough. And they said, we're not even going to touch the same-sex marriage thing. It's far harder, far worse. Okay, so that going on, but you know, they have all this, oh, well, you know, you should be able to marry who you love and all this. They're not satisfied with calling the same-sex ceremony marriage. That's not good enough. What they really want to do is destroy marriage altogether. That's what they really want. Giving in a little. Ask the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts took this whole homosexual issue to the Supreme Court and won. Then what'd they do? They gave in and said, well, you know, we can have same-sex scouts, you know, but not same-sex leaders or whatever. And just totally blew the whole thing, blew wide open. It's not going to happen. Was it now, right now, that they're calling for reparations? Okay. San Francisco has already voted it in. They're saying, we're going to pay every black person in San Francisco $1 million. Well, I predict that the black population in San Francisco is going to grow like crazy. Just like the Indian population has grown like crazy since they started giving benefits to Indians. You know, there was this tiny little percentage of people that had Indian blood. Now suddenly everybody's got Indian blood, okay? Because they started getting money for it. So that's all that's going to happen. Well, now you've got the black churches in Chicago, I believe, have called for the white churches to pay them like $3 billion in reparations for slavery. That's what they're calling for. But guess what? It won't, even if they get that, it won't stop there. You know where it's going to stop? When white people are slaves. They're not saying that openly, but that's what they want. Everything. We've got to destroy whiteness. You can't have whiteness. Whiteness itself is wrong. You're guilty. You're racist. Everything. If you're white. Doesn't that sound like a racist comment to me? Wait a minute. That you're racist automatically because you're white? Okay. This Babylonian worldview won't stop until it takes over completely. What does God say about it? Get out. Get out of it. Stay away from her sins. Get away from it. We can't play this game and stay in there and say, oh, we'll pretend to go along and we'll be this loving church and we'll accept all sorts. We'll accept homosexuals and transgenders and what. Transgenders? That's about the most hateful thing you could do to a person. And they claim if you don't support all this transgender stuff, you're hateful. No. There's news coming. England has actually caught on some, and they shut down their transgender children's hospital because it was so bad. We tried to do it here in America years ago. The doctor said, we're not doing this anymore, and he shut it down. But they fired him. They got rid of him, started it back up. But the reason he quit, it wasn't he was against it. He started the program. But he saw all the harm that it did. In England, some of the whistleblowers have come out and said that the children that they did these surgeries on have begged to be restored to their rightful selves. They've cried and begged. He said, I couldn't take it anymore. They were crying and begging to put them back the way they were when they came in. We can't do that. The changes they've done are permanent. You can't put them back whole again. You've sterilized them. You've ruined their life. And they keep saying, well, you have to do this because there's such a high suicide rate among transgender children. Well, there are no transgender children. There are people that have gone through transgender procedures. But the suicide rate multiplies after they've gone through the procedures, not before. Before, guess what happens? They get over it. They get over it, forget all about it, go on with a normal life. And this is, but we're insisting that we do this. They are taking children away from their parents if their parents won't do it. Okay? Babylon is taking over. Come ye out of her. Do not participate in her sins. And we get caught up in it so easily because there's so much money to be made there. Okay? They said some of this, one of this hospital was arguing for having to, for doing these transgender surgeries because they were showing how much money they were going to make. Because the surgery costs this much and this and that. And guess what? You've got them for lifetime care. Once they've been through this, they have to keep coming back over and over and over. It's a moneymaker. It's a moneymaker. But God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Okay? This world system doesn't treat godliness very well, does it? And double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. So all the horrors that the world has done to believers. Well, read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime. Okay? Burned at the stake, thrown to the lions, tortured, burned his lamps on poles. All the terrible things that have happened. God says, I'm paying her back double. That's not, well, isn't that what happened? If you stole a sheep, what did you have to do? You need to pay back double. That's the way sin is. There's a double payment. Well, Babylon's getting double reward. How much she hath glorified herself. Okay? Look at these worldly leaders. Who do they glorify? Themselves. The egos, the hubris, the greed, the conceit is just astounding to me. That these people, well, just listen to John Kerry. John Kerry goes around and says, you know, cows, are, you got to get rid of your cows causing global warming. We shouldn't eat meat and this and that. But what? And we shouldn't drive cars. You got to have electric cars and blah, blah, blah. And he flies around in a private jet all over the world. He says, well, I need to do it. You know, for me, it's okay. But for you, that's a different matter. He's glorified himself. They glorify themselves. How rich are they? What about Bill Clinton? He's a little country boy, grew up in Arkansas. He's living in a multi-million dollar house nowadays. He has a foundation that all these other countries have donated to, millions and millions of dollars. He's living it up big time. What about Obama? He didn't have anything when he first ran for office. He's living in a $13 million home on the east side, you know, like Newport, Rhode Island, all those big fancy houses up that way. He's got a big exclusive, he may be in New York, but big fancy expensive house. They go to these big fancy parties. They're wined and dined by all the really rich and this and that. They pour it under themselves. What about our current president? Think he's made a little money from being in office? He's been a public servant for almost 60 years. We call it public servant. Okay, you're not supposed to get rich working for the government. It's supposed to be a steady job that has a decent retirement. He's rolling in the millions. Okay, where's that coming from? We got one senator that's in trouble because they keep finding all his suit pockets have gold bars in them that he's been getting from foreign countries. Okay, they're rich. They're rich because that's the way it is. You're collecting all this for yourself. You're glorifying yourself. That's what it's all about, glorifying yourself. And lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. So for as much as they've luxuriated, they're going to suffer just as much the other way. Not that being rich itself is wrong, but it's hard and it's dangerous. But it's for the love of money. And the compromise, the bribery. I don't really care. I don't mind if somebody gets rich. Okay? It doesn't bother me that Elon Musk is just rolling in money. Because he made his money by producing something that people were willing to pay for. What bothers me is when you get rich by selling out the people of this country. By compromising, by using your position to further your own nest. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Isn't that what the government leaders say? Not just here in Washington, but in Brussels for the European Union, in China, in Russia, in wherever. Not going to affect me. They want to pass all these laws that we can't have gas stoves, we can't have guns, but they have chefs and bodyguards. Okay? Doesn't affect them whatsoever. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning. Look out. When it comes quickly. It seems like judgment has been very delayed. But when it comes very quickly. Death and mourning. And famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Okay, so the angel comes in saying, Babylon is destroyed. I picture it like a giant volcano. Okay? We all remember Pompeii, right? We've all studied about, seen pictures of Pompeii, the famous picture, the one guy, the corpse all dead and in ashes and fossilized, and he's reaching for his bag of gold. He had to go back for that one more bag of gold. Okay, never left. But the city was just gone in one day. And we've seen Mount St. Helens. That was a little one. And all the damage it did. But you know, there are super volcanoes. All of Yosemite Park is a huge volcano. There's volcanoes all over the world. So I see Babylon. I think God just said, I'm done. It's either like Pompeii and a volcano taking off. It could be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire from heaven. But instantly, it's gone. 100% completely gone and buried. Boom. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, well, all the people that go to Davos and done this because they're getting rich and powerful off of it too. So they're all for this one world government stuff because they've been making it. That's good for them. They shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Okay? I don't know who Babylon's going to be. It could be the United States. We've been the wealthiest country in the world. We've been the exporter of all these goods and power and this and that. It could be us. It could be China. It could be something in the Middle East. But everybody's going to cry because they just lost their income. So much for the jets. So much for all the gold. It's gone. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, but they don't want anything to do with her now when they see what's going on. They're not going to have anything to do with it. Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour does that judgment come. 1 hour. He didn't even say 1 day. He said 1 hour. It's just like, boom, it's done. Sodom and Gomorrah, how long did that last? With dawn, the angels drag Lot and his family out of the house, and then, boom, the city was gone. And when his wife turned back to look, it was too late. It was gone, and she was gone too. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. They lost their best customer. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stone, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all fine wood, vessels of ivory, most precious wood, brass, iron, marble. There's not a necessity in there, is it? It's all luxury items. All luxury. That wasn't food and whatever. We'll get to that. But all this luxury, expensive things. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat. And beasts, animals, sheep and horses, chariots, that's armaments, war goods, and slaves. What? I thought we ended slavery. We're to the point we're trying to pay reparations for slavery 200 years ago. Slaves again. Slavery still goes on, and it will. And souls of men. Satan buys and sells the souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. Don't set your heart on the things of this world. The merchants of these things, which were rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. So they're going to weep and wail, but they're not going to go help. They're going to stay as far away as they can get. And saying, alas, alas, that great city was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. It's gone. It's worthless. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? So are they saying, wow, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm sure glad I didn't participate in all that. No, they're mourning because they're like, oh, I can't go back. You know, instead of being grateful that they were gone, they're mourning to not go back. Make more money. And they cast dust on their heads, so they're mourning, and cried, weeping, wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Well, think about it now. We come during COVID, okay, we started having shortages of everything, right? And then they had this great big cargo ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal, and all of a sudden you couldn't buy toilet paper and all kinds of things. Why? Because we trade by ship. We do in this world, don't we? That's the major thing. You think, well, we got planes and buses and trucks. Yeah, but ships are the big one. Why? Because water can hold a lot of weight. Those cargo ships that come by, I forget, I should have looked up the specifications, but one of those huge cargo ships, they can only go certain places because they're so big. Right? They carry so much. They carry, you know, I don't know, hundreds of truckloads worth of gear on one ship. It's the cheapest way to transport things. And we had, you shut down the Suez Canal, and we have major glitches in our whole shipping system. Okay? And that's, the oceans cover 70% of the world. Yeah, but there's a few bottlenecks. You block those up. And so they're going to stop all these people that have been making all this money, these merchants sending ships. We're going to mourn. for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven. Wait a second, he's talking to us now. That was the merchants weeping because they're losing money. But this is to the believers. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Well, what were the martyrs beneath the altar saying? God, when are you going to avenge us from those that have martyred us? It's like, the day has come. I'm going to destroy this world system. It's going to come. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman, whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. So no more parties, no more celebrations, no concerts, but no millstone? The millstone is the very basics. That's where you grind your bread. And he's saying, that's it. It's destroyed. There's no more. That's not going to happen anymore. God is going to destroy the Babylonian world system. It's going to be gone. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Sorceries, pharmakeia, idolatry has deceived the nations. This false world religion. And you see it in many ways. You see the total secular humanism denying God whatsoever. You see false religions. You see Buddhism, Eastern mysticism. You see all that. You see liberal Christianity. And someone said, liberal Christianity is a whole other religion to Christianity. It's not the Christianity of the Bible. And it's in churches that put Christian names on their signs. But it's not there. There's some big conference this last week called the Strong Men's Conference. Okay, we've had rounds of those going. We had the circuit of what were all the men's conferences that were so popular 10, 20 years ago. Promise Keepers. That was a big thing for the men to go and be promise keepers and this and that. That was a big thing, and it kind of dwindled and this and that. Now they have the Strong Men's Conference, where it's a show. They had this one guy that put on a performance that was described as a male stripper. Okay, I've only seen one picture of it, but he was hanging from a pole upside down with no shirt on, doing some kind of dance routine. This was what they had at this men's conference, and rock music and this and that. It was horrible. And this is portrayed as a strong men's conference to make men godly and strong again. How about be strong and courageous? Keep God's commandments. That's the kind of courage we need. Men that are strong enough to do what God says, to keep his commandments and do what's right. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. So this Babylonian system is responsible for all the martyrdoms. And God's going to put an end to it. It's not going to last. And he's going to do it in 1 hour. So you better be out now. Because when it comes, it's going to come so fast, you're not going to have time to leave. We need to be out of that world system. We need to be apart from it. We need to be courageous men, but courageous like the Bible describes courageous. Read Joshua chapter 1, you know, be strong and courageous. You know, keep God's commandments. We don't think of that as courageous, but it's starting to show up in this world. It takes courage to keep God's commandments. Because they're putting people, you know, they have just been canceling people. You get kicked off Twitter or whatever if you say something. But guess what? It's going to where you're getting arrested. Or your church gets burned. If you do it in India, whatever, your church probably gets burned down or whatever. Okay, so it takes courage to stand up for God's word and do what's right. It takes courage in the churches because now you want to be, you know, it's Andy Stanley and all the churches. Well, we're loving and accepting and we just, you know, want to be loving like Christ. It's like Christ threw the merchants out. We need to clean out some of our churches now too. And it may need to start at the pulpit. Be strong and courageous to keep God's laws. That's what we make it back. That's what we judge a church on. Not by the beauty of its building, not by the number of cars in the parking lot, not by the big entertainment things they put on, but by the Word of God. That's how you can judge a church. Because when Babylon is going to get destroyed, and God has said, get you out of her, my people, because in 1 hour, she's going to be destroyed. And guess what? The world mourns, but we'll rejoice. Because we'll see Satan come to defeat Babylon.